Welcome to the first episode of Life on Tatami podcast series, podcast about martial arts and the lifestyle, not only in Slovakia. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. In today's episode, I want to talk about my story. My name is Roman, and welcome. I started with martial arts in my late teens. In this September, it will be 13 years. The reason why I started was that I wanted to clear my head. There were a lot of things going on in my life, at school, etc., doesn't matter. And I felt that I need to do something in order to keep sane, to stay on my feet, and to do something with my physique as well, because up until then, my only physical exercise was in PE, and you know, I went on a bike or occasionally played football, but I wasn't an athletic type, in meaning that I did any kind of professional, semi-professional, even amateur sports. So there were a couple of reasons, as I said, and with these reasons, there was an opportunity. I have a friend who has been in martial arts world far longer than I have, and he convinced me and one of my schoolmates to join up in his club. So we had this opportunity to start training at a place we had some connection. We had someone on the inside, let's say, so we wouldn't be all alone, because that's one of the greatest fears you can have when you want to start something new. So we got the information where to come, what we will wear on the training itself. So we did that, and we got the information beforehand, like, okay, there will be a warm-up. After the warm-up, we will be maybe divided into groups, and then you start to train, basically. So we did that. We came there. We started to train. And the first thing that I remember stepping into the gym, or the dojo as they called it, was that I suddenly saw these people in geese, or as someone calls them, kimonos, but in geese, with colorful belts, and they all knew what to do. So we knew what to expect a little bit. But we didn't know how it will go on, how it will proceed, what will happen, how it will look like. So the first couple of trainings that we spent there, we were completely lost. It was physically and mentally very challenging. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know what the exercises meant, because they can tell you, right? You run around the dojo to warm up, or do push-ups, do sit-ups, and you basically know what they meant. But there are some differences in the routine that they had. We didn't, right? You don't have the routine inside you. So we started to train there, and immediately I fell in love with martial arts. Of course, I knew about martial arts, that they existed, right? So you know about karate, you know about judo, kickbox, boxing, whatever. But unless you train them, really, unless you are there on the mat or inside the gym, training, doing the exercises, doing the basic movements, you do not know what the life is about, what the world of martial arts is really about. And this is what we have learned pretty fast. And I have to say that the club that we have started in was very open to new students. There were a couple of new students with us as well at that time. And the instructors paid attention to the newcomers. The older students or more experienced students paid attention to the newcomers. So we were shown, you know, everything, basically. Every exercise was explained, every movement, every position. And I would like to now to explain what we started with, right? So what was the actual martial art that I started with? So the club that I've started in, it's called Kobudo Kai. It's in Bratislava, which is the capital of Slovakia, if you don't know. And the club itself was teaching at that time when we started karate, traditional form, Goju-ryu style, and they were teaching kabuto, which was martial arts with weapons, basically. That is the definition of kabuto. The traditional version of it is closely linked to traditional karate. It comes also from Okinawa, and it is mainly focused on weapons themselves, right? So it says it is linked to karate, but the training of kabuto doesn't necessarily involve training hand-to-hand combat. You are heavily involved with that, training the hand-to-hand style. And now I will just quickly pause here and delve into the traditional versus modern styles and the differences that, as I see it, the traditional martial arts, they usually have a lineage, right? You can, you know, follow down the road and find the instructor there, find the founder, or find the first school, or more or less the first recorded school somewhere, 100, 200, whatever, how many years ago. And they have also the traditional aspects about it, right? So you have the traditional garments on you. You have some kind of hierarchy inside. There is some clear traditional ceremonies that are being held at the beginning and the end of the training. You call the gym dojo, or you call the mats tatami, or whatever it is. And these traditional martial arts usually have, as I said, a clear lineage. Now, there are some martial arts that are traditional in meaning that they are clearly linked to the traditional form. For example, you may have a form of jiu-jitsu, the traditional Japanese style, right? The Japanese martial art. But you can have a certain modern aspects to it. Those modern aspects might be that a certain instructor or master decided to change the curriculum, change the syllabus, to represent more of a modern style or modern ways. And this something happened with the kabuto that they thought, that it was based on these traditional aspects with the traditional garments, right? You had the budo gi on you, and you had a belt system, and you had ranks, and you had hierarchy, and we used Japanese terminology. But we didn't do the traditional style of kabuto. We didn't do, for example, a Mataoshi Ryu, which is a traditional school. We did a modern style, which we call in Japanese Gendai. I do not want to go inside the actual name of the style because it doesn't matter. We did a modern form, and this modern form was more based on Aikido, Judo, Jiu-Jitsu, rather than Karate. And our instructors, they were instructors in karate as well, because we had dual trainings there. You know, you came to a training session, and you could either join up with a karate group or a kabuto group. We usually had warm up together or certain aspects together, like the basic movements and punches, kicks. But when you had a division between these two groups was when the kabuto group picked up weapons. So I started with this kabuto, and it was very intriguing to me because it provided versatility. You could train with and without weapons. You could train the basic movements as we would with weapons, without weapons. We would be trained in kicks, you know, punches, evasion, blocks, throws, chokes, and techniques which are more linked to do Judo, Jiu-Jitsu, or Aikido. But we could do those with weapons as well. So there was this versatility, right? So, as I said before, the first trainings were extremely challenging, especially for someone like me who never did any kind of martial arts before. And this is what was appealing to me, right? So we had this, as I said before, versatility. And as I said, you know, we trained hard whenever we could, and this is something that And maybe I have to explain this to any potential listeners who might not have experience, not with martial arts themselves, but with martial arts and the, well, the reality of the Central Europe. It is not like we do not have schools that are being run as for profit schools, meaning that you have, a trainer who does this as his full time job, or as their full time job. But it is not very common here. We usually have a couple of sessions throughout the week, 2, 3, 4. It depends on the style, on the size of the gym or dojo or club. And so when I say we train as much as we could when we could, well, it's meaning that we not only started to train on every possible session that we had during the week, but if the weather prohibited, we would train outside. I remember I would take this car rope that is used, you know, when you need to tow a car. And we would put it around goalposts, and we would kick it, and we would punch it. And I wanted to know more and more and more whenever we could. And I have started, you know, to live within the community there, within the community of the club. Now, it wasn't long before we were offered that the club itself was organizing this seminar, like the inside seminar for the club members and close friends, where we had the opportunity to try out the more interesting weapons for us or more advanced techniques. And we had the opportunity to do our first belt test. And we were very happy about it. Everyone that I've started with, we went to this belt test. Now I will, you know, pause here again to explain maybe to someone who is not very familiar with the belt system and why it is important. And I will talk about this in the upcoming episodes more into detail, why we need belt tests in traditional martial arts, or what is their pros and cons, right? But the belt test itself is foremost for the student. It is the milestone that the student can achieve, and they can achieve it usually through their own hard training and their commitment to the training itself. Now, in some styles or clubs or dojos, whatever you name it, when you have a belt test, it can have different forms, right? You can either have that you have to perform a certain set of techniques based on the curriculum, or you have to perform certain forms, or you have to demonstrate what you have learned, you know, in more of a freestyle, you know, exhibition to the panel that is being, you know, doing your review or your belt test. That they are the ones that they grant you the rank at the end. And the system that we had was to perform techniques based on the curriculum, to perform the form, which was very short, and then to show some pair techniques with another student. And this was done with and without weapons, because the system was designed this way that you have to perform both, and you have to be able to perform both. And I said at the beginning of this part about the belt tests that this is foremost for the student, right? This is your milestone as a student. But it is also very important to the teachers, to the instructors, that they can, and this should be the reason why they do it, that they can see how you progressed and how are they teaching you as a student. Because no belt test is perfect, especially when we are talking about the first one ever. If you do the first one ever, it will be crap. It will be nothing that you should be proud of from the technical point of view, right? Because you will probably do very many mistakes, and you will feel like you did, you know, not the best version of what you could do. But what you should be proud of is that you had been standing there at that time and you did the belt test and you did the rankings. And you know, to be honest, it is from white belt to the first rank above it. So in our case, it was a yellow belt. Whatever the system is, it doesn't matter. The first belt that you receive, the first color that you receive, is a huge deal for the student. And every belt test is a huge deal for the student. But the first one and the experience of it is something that will form the student's ideas about the style itself and about how they feel about it. Now, our belt tests were, as I said, horrible in way that we performed what we could. We performed it as best as we could, and it was not that we weren't prepared, because you should be admitted to the belt test, to the ranking, only when you are prepared and only when the instructor decides that you are well prepared and you should go and show off, do the showcase of your abilities. And this is what happened to us, right? So we did the showcase, and we received the belts. And I remember the feeling that you know, you start the next training the next Monday with a new rank, and you are now in the line at the beginning of the training, a little bit further than you were a week or a couple of months back. And this is something that can boost your motivation to achieve more and more and more. Of course, this motivation can change, and we will talk about motivation in later episodes. But for me, it was a great feeling, because this is something, you know, around my waist that I have achieved on my own, basically. My training, my hard work, my sweat and tears were inside this particular belt, this particular rank, and I could show off, you know, at home at least, that, you know, I've achieved something. And this was great for my own, you know, mental well-being. And you know, we continued with training as usual. We started to train more when we could, more advanced techniques every time, and the belt tests and seminars, what have you, you know. What I want to focus more on was that I received the honors and the opportunity to become more of a experienced student for the club itself, and you know, through that, to help out with the club, help out with the trainings, you know, to lead the warm up, for example, or to show a group of new students the basic movements, the basic positions, you know, to you know, explain them how you handle the weapon, how you hold it, you know, which end to point at your opponent. And through this, I was able to interact more with the club itself, with the instructors, and we had like these special seminars when we did the advanced trainings, and we did, you know, exhibitions on festivals or wherever we could. We did this Buddha show in Czech Republic, and it was the great time in my life was this, that I had a place to train, I had a place to clear my head, I had a place to, you know, advance. And the second greatest thing about it was that due to the versatility that we had been training in with our instructors, was that we could you know, come to a different seminar, to come to a different training, to different club, and not be lost completely. I'm not saying that we knew everything, but we could adapt a little bit better than maybe other students. That we dabbled in throws, we dabbled in chokes, we dabbled in some ground fighting, we trained with weapons, without weapons. So when I started to attend different seminars with different instructors, you know, I could truly be more present at the training. I didn't have to worry about, you know, whether I'm able to do some techniques. Or we could more focus on the technical part itself, that okay, how to make it happen even better. And our club we try to integrate as much as possible with other styles as well. We had this like summer camps where we had instructors of kendo, judo, jiu-jitsu, aikido, karate, yaido, whatever you know you can name basically, and they were all friends. That is why they were at the summer camp, and you know we spent a couple of days together training every day, you know, morning, evening, after training hours, trying out different styles. And this is something that I am trying to hold still as a standard to myself, that you know, try out different styles, try out different martial arts. And I did, right? So I trained for some time a Filipino martial art. I attended trainings in jiu-jitsu, the Japanese jiu-jitsu, and did different seminars on self-defense and ground fighting and what have you. You know, I probably will talk about it later on. But, you know, all good things must come to an end. And what I have learned later on in after years of training was that, you know, not everything goes as smoothly as you plan, and you have to adapt. And what happened was that the chief instructor of our style, he suddenly decided to stop training and stop promoting our instructors for whatever reason there was. It doesn't matter what the reason was, this was the reality. So what happened with it was that our instructors never progressing pretty steadily, and now they couldn't, you know, progress more in this modern style. So what they could do was to still train karate, still train maybe other martial arts that they did, but for us, that we had this as the one and only martial art that we truly were training for the ranks and were committing, you know, almost 100% of our time, we now suddenly became masterless, let's say. Our instructors could promote us till the first degree black belt, but after that we would be, you know, on your own. And when we were then, a couple of us were blue and brown belts, so we were pretty close to that mile and to the milestone. So what happened was that we were presented with a question. Either you finish up with your first degree black belt and, you know, continue with the training, but with the limited possibility to promote yourself, and or you start a new style altogether. You know, we could start with traditional karate. And at that time, there was this traditional kabuto, so the one that is the originally from Okinawa, and this was being taught at the club that we, at the dojo that we were attending, but some of us decided to go down this road to train karate, to train the traditional forms, but a couple of us didn't want to. It's not that we didn't agree or we viewed it as bad or something, but we decided to do that because we wanted something modern, more versatile that we were accustomed to, and we didn't just wanted to continue to train just for the sake of training. We wanted to learn something, and eventually that was mainly my goal, was to become an instructor myself. So what we did was that we started to look for a new, you know, chief instructor, new master, new style. And at that time I was attending the jiu-jitsu classes from time to time, just to, you know, clear your head and to try out something different. And I came to this training and they had sticks in their hands. And the particular sticks that we had been using in our style, in the modern Gendai style, was the basic one was a 90 centimeters long hanbo, which is you know, pretty long staff, but it's not that long as for example bo, which is really really long. Now, and these jiu-jitsu guys, they had the weapon in their hands and they were training with it, and I was like, okay, what's going on? And the instructor there, he told me that, okay, this is a style that is being presented and trained in Germany and Austria and all around, and it is a style that is being trained and promoted by this master, which whose title was Socke, and it was his name was Vado Schmid. And Vado Schmid was this German guy, pretty old. At that time, unfortunately, he's no longer with us. And he was this really good jiu-jitsu guy who not only trained jiu-jitsu, but he also trained with weapons of different types, lengths, you know, materials, what have you. He was a former member of the French Foreign Legion. And he knew a lot, and throughout these years of training, he decided to put down everything he learned into one style, and basically create these three disciplines. And one of the disciplines was jiu-jitsu, so that was the hand-to-hand combat. The second discipline was kabuto, which was weapons combat based on jiu-jitsu, and then the third one was called the bojutsu, which is self-defense with a staff. Basically, they're all interlinked. And once I saw this style, you know, a fraction of it really, I became very interested in it. So I called my instructor at that time, Igor, who was still instructor, a chief instructor in the club Kobudoka in Bratislava, where I started. And I told him, you know, I probably found the style that is something that I want to train. And he helped me to get to the seminar which was done in Czech Republic, right across the borders from Slovakia. So it was like a 40 minutes drive, and what we did was we attended there and we met the student of Socke Vado Schmid, now Socke Günther Painter. And Günther was a very interesting fellow. He was very energetic and very precise, and his techniques were very good. So in the break of the seminar, we approached him, you know, this is me, you know, this is my name, we are from there, we want to train. And fortunately he told us, sure, we would be happy to. And we found a solution, you know, from Bratislava, from the capital of Slovakia. If you drive for 45 minutes, you get to the capital of Austria, Vienna. So in Vienna, there was another student of Vado Schmid, a student of Günther Painter, to be honest, and he was conducting trainings. During the week, of course, he was the instructor of jiu-jitsu, kabuto, bojutsu, everything. But during the weekends, once a month, he held these special trainings for people who had experience with martial arts, who had been training basically in jiu-jitsu most of the time, but other martial arts as well, and they are interested in the style that was the style of Socke Vado Schmid. And we rolled up in these classes. So what it meant for us was that once a month, it was on Sundays, we got up real early in the morning and hop on a train at the beginning, then you know, we got a car amongst ourselves, and with me and a couple of my friends, we either drove up or ride the train to Vienna, and then train for a couple of hours. You know, at the most hours that we have spent in one training was around 6.5 or something like that, and it was really challenging for us. And you know, we had like these micro seminars every month, and during the week we would train on our trainings in our club, and either we would sometimes lead a training, like this general training, warm-ups or whatever, and then we would continue to train the curriculum that we had to learn, because we started again as white belts. But in the end, we told our instructor in Vienna, Mario Stegbauer, and his master, now our master, Günther Painter, that we want to become an instructor. I wanted to become an instructor. We wanted to become instructors, right? So we trained really hard, you know, and then again, we went through all the bell tests that we had to again. And finally in 2017, we got our first degree black belt. And with it, I asked for the teaching license, the instructor license that I was awarded. And we had this long discussion with Igor, the chief instructor of our former club, about, you know, what to do next. Because at that time, as I mentioned, they had this they had trainings in traditional karate, which was going very well. And they had trainings in traditional Kabuto, and they were thinking about trainings of additional style of karate, also traditional Shorinryu. And we discussed this, and I told him right away that you know, I think that there is too many options under the one roof, because our style is no longer linked in any way to karate. Our style is solely linked to jiu-jitsu. Of course, we have some similarities, but this is based on jiu-jitsu, and I felt that it would not be very well handled under one roof. You know, if a newcomer comes and you can choose from 3-4 different trainings, how do you choose? You usually stay up on the first one that you try, and that's it. And I wanted to give more of a choice to people, you know. Clearly, this is what we train, and clearly, this is the club that we train this in. So, what we did was that we have founded our own club, and we are still friends, of course. We still, you know, meet each other on exhibitions and you know, whatever. You know, when someone comes to my club and he's unsure, or they are unsure what they want to train, you know, I have a discussion with them. And if they are like, okay, yeah, when I was younger, I trained karate and I really liked it, but I didn't find a good club because whatever reason, they might not have looked hard enough, or they are not sure, or they do not know anybody there. I tell them, okay, look, if you want to train with weapons, you can train with us. If you want to train more of a jiu-jitsu style, you can train with us. But if you like to you know, go back to what you know, go to that Club Kabuto Kai, and they have really good instructors in karate. And you know, that is for now everything that I wanted to share with you. I wanted to highlight some of the things that I have been through, you know, and why, and what it meant to me is that, you know, what I have learned from the years is that the martial arts provides you whatever style you do, whatever reason you train for, whatever motivation you have to progress, or if you just want to, you know, meet someone and you know, spend somewhere 3 hours a week, it doesn't matter. The martial arts teach you always to overcome, you know, obstacles, overcome your opponents. And, you know, the most common opponent is yourself, your laziness, your attitude towards training, attitude towards life. And this is something that really helped me to overcome a lot of things in my life. As I said, I first started to train because I felt that I needed to clear my head. So, this is all that I wanted to share with you today. And as I said before, we will do more in-depth episodes about certain aspects of the training and about of the lifestyle of martial arts themselves in here in Slovakia, about training, belt tests, about how to maybe pick up the appropriate martial arts for you, or what to watch out for when you want to try martial arts, you know, what to look for in a good dojo, in a good club, what to be aware of, what might happen, and why certain things are as they are. As I said before, we will publish these episodes regularly, every 2 weeks, and we are recording them in Slovak and in English when possible. So they are almost one-to-one. Sometimes, you know, I mention something in English that I don't mention in Slovak and vice versa, but the core message stays the same. And if you like what you are hearing, and if you like the idea that we had for this podcast, you can find us on our social media, in Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Give us a follow, give us a like, give us a subscribe, and subscribe us on your favorite podcast app. Of course, you can contact us directly through our email, which is podcast@lifeontatami.sk. And, you know, see you next time. And thank you for tuning in.